we're ready. Bob, do you feel ready to move into the coaching demo so that we can see this in action?
We can. I'm going to offer to coach one of you around your own personal or professional learning goals. And I want that to be related to your coaching platform, to ways in which you would like to grow as a coach. In other words, it's almost the question, why are you here? Why did you sign up for this training program in the first place? And would you be willing to have a conversation with me about that and just explore it? And we're going to be using the story empathy inquiry design model that you're going to be learning over the course of the next 12 classes. So if one of you would be willing to just tell me why you're here, other than the fact that I called you on the phone and talked you into it, what are you interested in learning? What do you want to get out of this program? What would you find valuable? What would, if you know, 20 hours from now, you were to say, you know, that was worth the money, that was worth the investment of time, that was worth the reading, who would be willing to have that conversation with me? This is just a one-on-one coaching demo where everyone else is just going to be listening, and I'm going to do my best to exemplify the evocative coaching model that you're going to all be learning. I'm kind of stalling now because no one has raised your hands as in you'd be willing to talk with me about why are you here. Whew! Lynn, you got everybody else off the hook.
Oh.
Everyone else is breathing a big sigh of relief, like, oh, I don't have to do this. Lynn is going to do this.
I'll be the guinea pig.
That's okay. And I want to thank you for volunteering. I'm interested in checking in before we get started on just where your energy is at. I mean, here we are, we're an hour and a half into this class. I don't know if you've started reading the book yet, but I'd like to just get a sense of how you would describe your energy right now, and I'd like you to describe it as a kind of weather. Are you a real sunshiny day? Are you, as it is right here, right now, freezing cold with snow on the ground? Are you stormy with clouds? Are you a hurricane? How would you describe your energy as a weather pattern?
Yeah, I would maybe say I'm feeling spring-like. And to that end, I push the button. I push number one, so I'm feeling kind of open to some possibility, newness, feeling spring-like.
Mm-hmm. So new things may flower here, may bud here.
Yes, yeah.
That's a delightful metaphor, and I'm so glad that I checked in with that, that you're just feeling like the air is fresh and the flowers are starting to come up and that you may have some new things to come forth.
Right.
Describe for me, if you will, what you might think of as some of your strong suits. I don't know you, and you don't know me, but how would you describe, whether they be personally or professionally, some of the things that are really some of your strong characteristics? I wouldn't necessarily call them best, but they're just strong.
In my work or personal life, or
either one. It's the who is Lynn Bowman question.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The things that define you. Like the people who know you well would say, "That Lynn, she sure is blank." You
right,
finish the
yeah.
sentence.
Okay. I think that they would say that I'm a good listener. I think that they would also say that I have ability to get people going or to get them excited about an idea or a piece of work or a thing. I think that they would say, we're talking about strengths, right?
Yeah. I mean, so
yeah,
I've heard
yeah.
you're a good listener and a strong motivator.
Right, yeah, strong motivator. I think that they would say that they could feel my passion about the things that I care about, that comes across very strong for people. I'm also fairly, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but people can read my facial expressions pretty well. I'm not a very good poker face. And sometimes I feel like that is a strength. I think that people would say, or I feel like I can, I can't think of anything else right now.
That's okay. Four is pretty
okay.
good.
Okay.
To be a good listener, to be a strong motivator, to be someone who's passionate about their priorities and to be someone who can really express themselves right through their facial expressions, I can picture that kind of person. I'm curious as to whether you could tell me a story as to a time when one or more of those strengths was really, really came into play and made a difference, a positive difference, whether it be in your own life or in the life of someone else.
Well, I think that, and maybe it's being a teacher to middle school students. That's what I did before I was doing this work. I taught eighth grade. And so the ability to get kids, young people, passionate and interested in sharing pieces of themselves, and this was particularly through a unit of poetry that I taught, because I happened to really be passionate and love poetry. Adolescent boys, maybe not necessarily so, would be able to write or share parts of themselves in that way. And I think the group of kids were hesitant about the work that we were going to be doing, reading poetry, writing poetry, sharing their writing out loud. And I feel like that was a successful unit of study. They were able to write their own poems and share them in a public forum and feel really confident and proud about it. And I think that, the idea about being a good motivator and feeling passionate, that definitely came into play to get young people to get into reading and writing poetry.
Yeah, it rubbed off on them.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and I can tell that you felt really good about the fact that it rubbed off on them.
Yeah, I'm proud of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good, and there's nothing wrong with feeling proud about making a contribution. I'm wondering if that in fact is the main need that you would say, namely the need to make a contribution, that was undergirding that feeling of being really proud of that, or if there was another need there as well.
A need, like one of my needs? Or
yes, it would be one of your needs, but I want to be clear, and we're going to be working a lot with the distinction between thoughts and feelings and between needs and strategies as we go through the training program. Needs are needs. Everybody has every need at different times. And so you may have needed something at one moment and then you don't need it at another moment.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, your need for contribution was met. And I'm just asking whether there was another need.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to answer that question. I never thought about it as revealing my need for contribution. That instance. So I don't know if there was any other need that I was trying to meet there. Maybe I'm confused about the question. Is it like what I needed, like for kids to do, or goals that I had for them, or more?
No, I was really asking what needs of yours were met in that experience. As an example, some of the things that also struck me around the unit of poetry was creativity. That can be a need. And there also seemed to be a really strong kind of tenacity about you in terms of your ability, you know, to get others passionate as well. And
yeah, and I guess I would say, I'm getting it now. I think would be to create a space where kids could feel like they could take a rest.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, that goes back to the contribution.
I guess.
And that space where they can take a risk is kind of a way to make that contribution. It sounds, and that goes back also to what I call the need for creativity, because
mm-hmm.
not everyone would go about it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I hope we have expanded your understanding of some of your own experiences, but our coaching session is far from over, because the key coaching question that we ask of anyone we are coaching is essentially, now what?
Right.
I mean, understanding that you're a good listener and a motivator and that you're passionate about your priorities and that you're able to read facial expressions, and given the story that you told and the ways in which it met your needs for contribution and creativity and commitment and so forth, where do you want to go from here? You know, isn't there some company who uses that as their marketing logo? Where do you want to go today?
Yeah.
Now what? This is really what in evocative coaching we call the learning brief, meaning what do you want to learn?
Right.
I'm asking this as a real question. What do you think?
And I think that I want to be able to take those strengths, I guess. And I know that I can do that well in group situations, classrooms, leading a seminar group of graduate students. I'm less confident in doing that work one-on-one. I guess that's a new place for me to be. So I would want to think about how I can get to more purposeful conversations with individuals about what, how to meet, how they can, how to help them meet their needs.
And so really developing some strategies for how you could have those experiences and then bolstering your confidence to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard a little intimidation in your voice there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm okay with groups, but this one-on-one stuff, I don't know so much about that.
Right, and that's a big part of my work now in terms of working, you know, with beginning teachers on trying to push them into or help guide them into, you know, bettering their practice. And that's the place where I feel like I have a lot of that's a big growing edge for me, I guess.
No, it was very words that were popping into my mind, that this was your growing edge.
Right.
How do you take your needs for contribution and creativity and your passion and your love of learning and, you know, the ways in which you motivate, how do you take all that from group settings into a one-on-one setting? And it's, I'm hearing you say you have reason to do that. You have, I don't know whether it's job responsibilities or personal, but somehow you are now in one-on-one settings where you have more responsibilities for that.
Right, and that's my job, my work now. Yeah.
Well, it's time for another story. And by that I mean, I'm curious as to what has been one of your best experiences one-on-one then of doing that very thing with someone, anytime, in any setting, personal, professional, long ago, recently. Can you think of a time when you would say, okay, I did do that then well?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that that has happened. I know that there have been instances where I've done it well. Let's see.
We could go at this in a different way.
Yeah.
Instead of a story, we could brainstorm some ideas as to what you have to bring to the table, so to speak, in order to do that well.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be your own personal, emotional resources or additional reading and growth or whatever it be, would you be willing to just do some brainstorming with me?
Sure.
Now?
Yeah.
As to how you could do that? Okay. I mean, what comes to your mind when you think, if that's your growing edge, and remember, by brainstorming, you're not committing to anything. It's just like, let's see if we could come up with 10 ideas as to how some random person, you know, who doesn't happen to be named Lynn, some random person might do this if that was their growing edge. How might they do this?
Right. Well, I think I'm thinking about what's different in doing it with children or young people, adolescents and adult learners. So I want to think a little bit about that, because I think I've been, you know, successful, I guess, when I think about some things with kids, you know, working one-on-one with them. What are the similarities and differences in those two kinds of relationships? I think in terms of maybe
That may be a good way for us to get started, but I don't want us to, so to speak, run out of time.
Right.
I want us to. I would like you to just start brainstorming ideas as to, you know, for example, literally strategies. Like, I'll start. You could go and interview a therapist to find out how they became good at one-on-one conversations.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got it. Okay.
I mean, I'm just, let's just brainstorm. It doesn't mean you're going to do it. It's just like, what could you do?
Right. Well, I could ask someone to come and observe me and give me feedback on that.
Okay.
Come observe me in a one-on-one conversation and give me feedback on it. I could, I'm hoping that by doing some more learning and research, like taking this course, reading more about how adults learn, or engaging in difficult conversations. So maybe doing some more reading on those aspects of having difficult conversations, maybe.
You could literally pick someone to work with,
mm-hmm.
just one person. You could go ask someone, would you be willing to work with me to facilitate your own learning, growth, and change?
Right.
I don't think you'd put it that way, but but that's what you'd be doing. And that is, by the way, what we're working on with, you know, we're up to 5, by the way.
Okay.
Five ideas. Can we brainstorm one more, and then we'll see if we could design an experiment around that.
Okay. Well, what did we have so far?
Okay, so we have, you could interview someone.
Mm-hmm.
I said a therapist, but you could interview someone who works with individuals to find out how they became good at one-on-one interactions. You said you could ask for someone to observe you and give you feedback. You said that you could, I can't read my handwriting.
Oh, I do my own research. Well, another just as someone.
Oh, reading and taking taking courses, reading, and then pick someone to work with you on it.
Right. Oh, well, also as someone would be observing me, I could go and observe someone in doing that work.
Okay.
Doing
so. Even though I'm rushing this because of the class time frame, I'd like you to pick one, and we'll design an experiment around that one. Pick the one that you would find most helpful, most intriguing. You might even pick the one that you would find the most challenging, or you might pick the one that you would find the easiest, but I definitely want you to pick one that you see would have a lot of learning value for you.
I think observing someone who does it well would be really helpful for me.
Okay. So let's design an experiment as to how you're going to find that person and when it's going to happen, and, you know, are you going to be behind the glass mirror and listening to it? How's this going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Literally. I mean, you tell me.
Yep.
Without using names, who this is, and when and where and how it's going to happen.
Right. Well, I can think of a couple of administrators or counselors at my school that I could ask that would be willing to have me observe during one of their conversations.
Okay.
With another member of the community, and what would be important to me, I would also want to be able to observe and then have a debrief conversation with them, so I could go and ask them about to do that.
And on a scale of 0 to 10, and now I'm talking for real. This has not been a make-believe conversation.
Yeah.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how confident are you that you will actually talk to one or more counselors until you find one who would be willing to let you observe them and then have that debrief conversation on a scale of 0 to 10?
Oh, I think like 10 being the highest that I would
do. Yeah,
yeah.
Do 10
yeah.
being it's absolutely for sure.
Oh, it's could absolutely for sure. Yeah, 10. I could do that.
And with a 10, we may not even need to talk about whether there are any other people or environmental supports that could help you do it. It strikes me that you are saying, I have just enough commitment inside me that this is going to happen.
Well, yeah, it would be. It's so
yeah.
easy to do that I don't know why I haven't done it before.
But you are going to do it now.
Yes.
Well, this was, we are at the end of our coaching conversation. I would appreciate in 60 seconds or less some feedback from you on the coaching that I just did with you. And then Sarah is going to wrap up the class by getting some feedback from the class. But could you just give me some feedback on what it was like to be coached in this way with you? Because I did my best to model the evocative coaching approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that when you started in the beginning with asking me, you know, to talk about my strengths and then to tell a story, that then somehow turned into, and I don't know when it happened, turned into things that I would need where I'm looking to grow. I don't know how that happened, but I felt that happening.
You make me think of the twist in the Mobius strip.
Right, I guess that's
I don't know how that happened.
but here we are. But I felt very comfortable moving from talking about my strengths to then talking about some of where I wanted to grow in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little hard to come up with stories, like right on the spot. So when you asked to do some brainstorming, that was really helpful. I was getting stuck. I just couldn't think of anything. Maybe because there are all these other people listening, but I had a hard time thinking of something. So I liked the strategy of another way to look at it to get at some of a similar thing. So, and then also ending the conversation with some real action step feels like the conversation was really purposeful. Like I'm leaving with really something that I could do.
Well, thank you for that feedback. And it is certainly true that in all evocative coaching practices, we want it to lead to some kind of movement, growth and change. If coaching doesn't lead to any change in behavior, it hasn't been coaching, at least not in the evocative
mm-hmm.
sense. So we were able at least to get that far, and I just so thank you, Lynn, for the opportunity to do the coaching.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the coaching.
All right. Well, Sarah, I think over to you to wrap up the class.
Okay, great. So the moral of the story is never turn down an opportunity to have Bob coach you. Volunteer in this class. I was so impressed, Lynn, by how engaged you were in the coaching conversation, but then you were also so aware of what was happening afterwards. You could actually speak to the whole entire process. That was amazing. Okay, so a few thoughts from the rest of the class. What really stood out for you as you observed this first coaching demonstration? Bob mentioned that he was going to try to infuse the elements of listening, empathy, appreciative inquiry, and design, as well as the five coaching concerns of consciousness, connection, confidence, contribution, creativity. press one on your keypad. What did you hear? What stood out to you? What are you thinking, Dory?
Well, one of the things that really impressed me was I was listening to the way Bob was pulling her strengths. And I was very interested in that because that's one, I think, one of the cool things about the whole evocative coaching process is it's built on strengths, but you've got to find ways to get those strengths out of people. And I was very interested in how he did that through his questioning.
Awesome. Good observation. And that's what we're going to talk about around appreciative inquiry is how we do that. I love that observation. Great. Good. What else did we notice in that demo?
Don't be shy. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
Darlene's got a thought. Darlene, what are you thinking?
I like how when she got stuck, he provided some examples to kind of keep her going with some ideas. Because sometimes when you're in the moment, you just can't think of anything, and then if somebody's prompting you, telling your strengths, and then say, well, this is kind of what I see, blah, 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 or I've seen in the past, maybe giving some examples to have her look more into themselves.
Absolutely. Okay, good point. So he kept it moving and shifted things. I saw some creativity there, too, as an observer, that he was playing around with that coaching practice to find something that fit for Lynn that would help her move into that design phase. Good. Do we have one more comment? What else did you hear? What kind of stuck out with for you in listening to that short but definitely powerful coaching example? Barbara, what are you thinking?
Well, I was, it was almost as if she was surprised there at the end when she said, I don't know why I didn't think of that before. So the fact that that could come through, that to me is very powerful.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up. Bob talks about that a lot, about how that's the essence of a good coaching conversation is when people walk away and say, of course, this is what I want to do. This was an idea, even something that generated from inside of me inside in this conversation. I should do that right now. That is a sign of a good coaching conversation when the person walks away and says, of course, this is what I'm going to do next. This makes total sense to me. Great. Okay, I think we have one more comment. Let's see if we can squeeze it in. Thanks, Barbara. Denise, do you have another thought?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. I just wanted to share actually how at some point, especially when Bob started to talk about, you know, what he heard in terms of needs and how that may have been a bit awkward. I think that's where the key difference between evocative coaching and maybe provocative coaching is the trust element. Still fundamental to great coaching is the trust. If the coachee doesn't feel that he or she is being threatened, then that movement and that shift from talking about something that maybe it's not spoken about to suddenly being so empowered about the actions that can be taken, that was a huge shift. So nicely done, Bob.
Great point, Denise. He absolutely made that connection so quickly through the attentive listening, and we saw that shift happen